Hi, it's Terry from No Crumbs Left. I'm so excited for you to hear this episode with Debbie Brown. She is a goddess and a light worker. During the episode, about everything you can imagine went wrong. So the sound may or may not be perfect, but what she said is such perfection, and I can't wait to get your feedback. Debbie Brown, I am so excited to have you today on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you, Terry. It is such a joy to be here with you. Huge fan of all the things that you do. And you bring me so much joy when I get to make some of your recipes.
I love that. I originally found out about you from our mutual friend, Mylique Teal, who is, you know, super cool. And she was like, I want to send a bowl to Debbie? And I was like, oh, I want to send a bowl to Debbie. And I came over to your page. And it's been so interesting to go from then, which was maybe a couple of years ago, to now and see all of the places you've been and what a magic maker you are and what a bright light on the planet. And so for those of us who don't know you and are excited to learn more, tell us who you are.
Oh, I love that. First, I have to shout out my girl, Mylique. She is just such an epic being. And she is the one who put me onto your marinated onions, and I've never looked back since. So big, big, big love to her. And also obsessed with all of your ceramic pieces. My cabinets are beautifully filled.
Love it. We call it kitchen jewelry, and you can understand that because you're a person celebrating tiny joys.
Yeah, truly. One of the bowls that I have one of your everything bowls in blue, and it's kind of become a ritual for me to spend my lunch with that bowl and really pack that bowl with nourishing ingredients, kind of close my eyes, take in some deep breaths, and just enjoy every taste and savor. So you are a part of my day, and I love it so much. So my story. I am the Chief Impact Officer for Chopra Global, and I'm the voice of daily meditation for our beautiful Chopra app. And so that's my current shell of existence, is really just sitting in and savoring and teaching mindfulness and well-being, and sharing different healing technologies and healing modalities with people in service to our spiritual ascension and peace and joy and love and pleasure. And before that, I'm also a mom of a beautiful 2-year-old boy who is just the most delicious thing that has ever existed in my life. And before that, I spent many years working in the radio and entertainment industry and storytelling through that medium. And just, I think at the core of all of these titles that I've just listed for myself, at the core of my being, I'm just a curious soul that wants to radiate big love and feel big love.
And I think you do that. I mean, I think you just have such a superpower with doing that and with everything that's going on in this time. And let's face it, for those of us who are joyful beings already, this is a challenging time to access joy when so much is happening in our world this year on so many levels. Yeah. But it is something that I know that when I come to your page or I follow you, or listen to your podcast, that you're always bringing that to us.
Thank you for that reflection. You know, it's something I've always been, when I look back, I guess, kind of at all the different facets of my life, when I revisit different age groups and see the different lenses of perception I had at different times. You know, I think when it comes to joy, even though I feel that I've always been pretty naturally enthusiastic about life, even in the midst of profound challenge, I think this year has taken it to the next level. I think all of us have been brought to our knees and had to truly learn how to feel peace and uncertainty, or at least attempt it, and really truly learn how to surrender to the divine timing of our lives and realizing that we don't control anything. And also we never did. And so it's fine, you know, and kind of sitting in that. And at the top of the pandemic, I remember a huge moment for me where joy shifted from more of an occasional or intellectualized process to something that I could really live and embody. I started, this question came to me in April, the top of the pandemic. And it was just like, okay, all of the events you had lined up for the year canceled within a day. All of, you know, the checks you had lined up canceled within a day. This grand plan that you saw your year being, that you did your vision board for in December, that you set your intentions for, all of that is out the window to a certain extent. So what else? What else? You know, and this question came forward from God to me that was, who are you being called to become right now? And so I just started asking that question every day to myself, to God, to the universe. I would say, who are you being called to become right now? And also, what is the deepest truth of who you are? I didn't know the answers to that, right? I think the ego mind, I could have tried to fill it up. I could have, you know, tried to be like, I'm called to become resilient, or I'm called. I could have filled it with things, but I created space, energetic space of just asking the question, not being committed to the answer, not trying to force the answer, not trying to control the answer. And then very, very gently, but pretty rapidly, deeper understandings of how I could show up for myself really started appearing for me. And for me, that was through big joy. That was through tiny joy. That was through big love. That was through finding beauty in things that I never took the time to see as beautiful before. And it has completely revolutionized everything about my life. And it's really inspired me because I think so many of us that have the capacity to have been on this lifelong journey of discovery in some sense, right? We've been observing ourselves, or we've been asking ourselves questions, or doing the work, whatever that looks like. And then we come into a moment like 2020, and instead of feeling defeated by it, it's kind of like, oh, here's a chance for more. Here's a chance to learn more. Here's a chance to attract more tools. Here's a chance to really deepen my understanding of what this human experience is supposed to be, and surrender to it. And so that's kind of how I found or deepened my path of tiny joy. It is those small moments. It is that gratitude for sun on my face when I go outside, that scent, like smelling my child's hair when he's fresh out of being, you know, shampooed and conditioned, just really coming into a place of savoring. And I think like when I connect to your page, Terry, and I look at like, God, just the epic food. Like I'm just always like salivating in joy, like looking at your meals. But it's kind of like the same idea. Like when I look at your page, it's like you're teaching me how to savor, how to make everything that I place in my body to nourish myself have impact and be more. And I think that we each have so many of those abilities in so many different ways. We just have to have the confidence to share it with others.
Wow, that's incredibly profound. So practically, how does one do that? I mean, it's interesting, right before we got on the podcast and I'd gotten some bad news and, you know, was like, oh, I'm really feeling down. And, you know, Zach and I just started talking about food and we were like, oh, what do we want to eat? And we're like, okay, I want Salisbury steak. I want my Whole 30 Asian-inspired chicken salad. I want my shortage chicken. And it was like, it really shifted it from I'm really feeling really blue to, oh, I can, there's nothing I love more than making, you know, delicious food or thinking about eating it. So how do people do that? I mean, practically, I just found one way for myself because this is your superpower. And it's the gift certainly that you give, you know, and I want to ask you in a little bit, like, what is your Dharma? We just recently did a Friday Favorites and what is your Dharma? But it's like how practically for people who this isn't their Dharma and, you know, it's been a shit year, let's face it, in so many ways, how do they access that? What's the practical way to get there?
God, that's so, that's such an important framing. You know, I think for us so often, so this is going to be multi-layered. So often when we're thinking of our superpowers or our purpose or our Dharma, or we're thinking about who we're called to be in the world, we see through the lens of society, which means there is always going to be a ceiling and there's always going to be a level of comparison or competition when we view it through that lens, right? Because now purpose is in, self-care is in. So it's like people are starting to say, well, how much can I out-purpose you? How much can I out-self-care you? And so we think that everything has to arrive in this beautifully Instagrammable package of profound, right? But the human experience that exists outside of Instagram, that truly exists just deeply inside of ourselves and outside of our relationships with others, that's the piece that unlocks truly who you're called to stand as in this life. And I think, you know, a way to just tangibly introduce that to yourself and start to taste it, start to grasp at it, is to really just find more ways to show up for yourself. Like when you were sharing just a moment ago about the news you got and then what came forward for you, it's like what I really heard in that is it's so much deeper than like, I want to have like something delicious to fill me up. It was like, how do I use the tools I have? How do I recognize how equipped I am in this moment to care for myself, to show up for myself, to be tender with myself? And I think one of the biggest ways of us being able to connect deeply to our purpose and connect to the ways that we can transmute whatever comes at us is to really just practice being with ourselves. When you practice being with yourself, when you practice showing up for yourself, when you make self-honoring choices, the rest of life so effortlessly flows to you. You'll be able not just to have easy access to your life's purpose, but you'll be able to spot it so fully without trying to manipulate it or warp it into being something that's impressive to other people. You just being yourself is such a radical invitation to live your purpose, you know? And I think that's been one of the greatest gifts of this pandemic. So many people move through life having never met themselves. You're with yourself every day. You look at yourself in the mirror every day, but you don't really know who you are, what you like, what you don't like. So much of it is programming. You know, when we just begin to observe that in ourselves, not judge myself for it, but just say, wow, I'm noticing that maybe that choice doesn't feel as good as I thought it was. I have the opportunity to redirect. I have the opportunity to shift.
What is an example of that, of being able to redirect?
So, you know what I think a good example for this would be, like, I think where everyone needs to start when they're investigating is making a spiritual routine or a self-care practice that they will honor themselves with by doing every single day. And a really fun way to start building our trust within ourselves is to, as you're doing your practice, say, okay, I've made my itinerary of how I want to self-care. Does this still feel true? Is this the best mechanism for bringing about my joy, right? When I started my self-care practices years ago, it was very, very regimented and very like textbook. So it was like, wake up every morning, meditate, stretch my body, do some yoga postures, do breathing, do some journaling, right? It was more about like, you have to do this, do self-care. And now it's more like, oh my God, oh, what a joy. What a joy. Today I'm going to dance. Today I'm going to meditate. I'm going to journal. I'm going to breathe. Like, oh, what a gift to me. And like reframing it as being in service to me, not I'm trying to fix things that are wrong with me. And so as I was doing my self-care practice and just really beginning to observe where even in my joy, I was judging myself, or even in my self-care, I was judging myself, it taught me a whole new way to be with me slowly and gradually over time. It taught me a whole new way of how to experience myself and show up for me. And so through that, it was kind of like, well, yeah, you know, this is good, but actually I think the best way to show up for me is instead of a morning practice, I'm more led to an evening practice. You know what? I don't want to meditate for this length of time. I think I'm going to do it for this length of time. You know what? Yoga doesn't fit into how I want to self-care at night. What's something else that could nourish my body and fill that space? And that's when you start really realizing who you are and trusting yourself and being able to make self-honoring choices in real time.
So I'm going to stop you, if you can believe it, right at this moment. And we're going to hear from our sponsor and then we'll be right back. So Lucy, I know there's a lot of emphasis on self-care, and I want to say through the pandemic, when I'm not doing Whole30, my self-care routine involves a Spindrift and a shot of vodka with beautiful ice cubes pretty much every night.
Well, I would say that we are seeing eye to eye about that. My favorite Spindrift flavor right now is orange mango, and that's been a longtime favorite of mine.
Oh, pineapple for sure. cranberry, grapefruit's very nice. And if you're having just a mocktail, I think lemon with some actually grapefruit ice cubes and then a piece of lemon, spectacular.
Oh my gosh, grapefruit ice cubes. I got to do it.
It's a let's go moment. I'm back with my friend Debbie Brown. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. You know, this question can be a little triggering for people because I think so many of us are so deeply invested in our stories, and with good reason. You know, our stories shape who we are, but oftentimes the early stories that we learn or that we tell ourselves that lead us into a place of maybe having a little more negativity inside of our hearts and our minds than is healthy for us or than feels good, it's typically rooted in trauma, and it's typically rooted in experiences we had that didn't feel good or that were deeply harmful or in experiences that we didn't get to choose or have a say in. And from that purview, we begin to really start to manifest inside of ourselves an againstness to us and an againstness to the world. And so a quote I love says, you know, you can only meet someone as deeply as they have met themselves. And so oftentimes that's why we even have this lens of viewing other people as being negative or being toxic, as this kind of explained a lot right now. And we see, you know, some of the nuance of that conversation on Instagram quite a bit. But, you know, I think it's important. We're all just doing the best that we can, ultimately, from our lens of perception. And the way we see ourselves and the way we experience the world is 100% rooted in the life that we've lived, you know? And so that's hard to undo, especially when you feel like your pain is such a big part of your personality, when it takes up such big room with your identity. It's hard to let go of that because you feel like, well, who am I without that? Who am I without that pain? Who am I without that story? You know? And so, you know, can from a negative mindset, can you have positivity? Well, sure, because it doesn't change the way that other people treat you. But when you're a negative person, 99% of the time, you are not able to receive it as positivity. You know, I could say something really beautiful to you, but based on how you feel about yourself, you might be like, oh God, she just wants everyone to like her. Or she's just saying that because she's trying to manipulate me or do this or that. You know, there's always going to be a barrier to being able to receive love and being able to receive things that are for your highest good and that propel you forward. You know, I think when we think about energy exchange, when we think about the way that energy works, the way manifestation or the power of intention and attraction works, it's from a space of openness. And when you're in a space of negativity, you're completely restricted. Your heart space is closed so tightly like a fist, and there's not a lot of room to think for things to get in. And, you know, I've just found that people think being in that space is what protects them and is what will keep them safe. But in fact, you've sealed out all entry points for light to enter you. And when you do that, you close yourself off from the experience to ever become more than that, or to really be able to receive, spot, acknowledge, or emit your own joy and your own positivity. And when we get in that place, obviously, it's the ripple effect, right? It affects every single relationship you have in your life. It affects who you're allowed to be, what you're allowed to do in the world, how much access you have to your destiny. It affects how you are as a parent, and then what kind of ancestral trauma you then pass on and keep the cycle going. So it's multi-layered, you know? And I think a lot of times people, and if this is ringing true for anyone listening, and if there's some constriction or a little bit of anger swelling up hearing this spoken about, I think it's just important to start investigating, you know, to ask you to release things that don't serve you. It doesn't mean the things that happened to you aren't true. It doesn't mean that you were deserving of any of it. It doesn't mean that you didn't endure and persevere, you know, but there is just opportunity to now have more for yourself. You know, we get to choose how we feel, and we don't get to choose our stories always. We don't get to choose the things that happen to us, especially in early life, on an earth realm level, on an ego level, but we do get to choose how we'll be in spite of it or because of it. So there is always choice for us. And so I think wherever you're at on that journey of how you're processing, how you're experiencing, perceived positivity or negativity, it's just important to know that you're not trapped. Even if you can't see that right now, you are not trapped in how you feel about yourself or the world. There's always the opportunity. There's always a choice.
I love that. My mother was a really open person, and we're talking about like in the 80s, you know, she took me to a Shirley MacLaine workshop, which was really about, you know, and sort of creative visualization. And that was sort of the entry point for me. And I feel like, oh, so blessed for that. And often when I get into a spiral of just like, I'm not accessing my joy, I have, you know, tightened in, there are no access points, I always go back and listen to The Secret. I listen to her book. And, or The Power, you know, she has a few of them where I just need to be reminded that I can create, that I'm a magical being, that we all are, you know, and it definitely 5 or 6 times a year, I just know, you know what, I got to go re-listen to the book. And it's like within an hour, I can go from really being in a place where I don't really feel the light and everything, you know, to that I do. One thing that I want to ask you about is I saw you do the, Share the Mic Now, this movement that was in June. When I say, you know, that is one of the most powerful things that happened for me all year was sitting with you for that hour, listening to that Instagram Live. It was amazing. And so you talked a lot about, you know, what you've dedicated your life to, about what holding space is, you know, and I would just like you to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, about, you know, I think something I'm really passionate about that I think drives my life's work, or at the very least, my life's deepest curiosity, is really understanding how each of us processes trauma and pain and what mechanisms or barriers we put up unknowingly to our own healing. You know, I think something that was really a huge shift for me some years back was recognizing that, yeah, life is profoundly challenging. There is so much that we don't choose. However, if certain levels of suffering are kind of innate to the human experience, how can I alleviate the suffering I cause myself? And thinking from that lens was such a breakthrough for me. And it's what really catapulted me into kind of having the tenacity and the grit and the courage to do my own healing work, to do my own work around false narratives, to do my own work around limiting beliefs. So I think, you know, for me, when I specifically, and to reference that Share the Mic Now conversation, you know, what I was really speaking to, and this is something I find quite often working in the wellness world, how narcissistic spirituality and positivity can be, how white wellness can be, and only really reference a certain experience of healing based on a certain theme of things needing to be overcome, if that makes sense. And so when I was speaking to the Share the Mic Now movement, it was really like, you know, globally, for the elevation of our collective consciousness, we cannot hoard our own healing. We are meant to share our healing. I think that's one of the most beautiful messages of Christ. It's like really being able to show up for other people and be your highest self in action. And to be that means you can't just stay in your tiny cocoon of feeling like your life is great or only looking to understand the complexities of pain for people that look like you and for people that you know personally. You know, we're all in our little tiny groups within the greater collective of being human. And so it is so easy when stories are foreign to you to not be able to relate to other people and to not be able to extend compassion or empathy to other people. But when you think about the Black experience in America, when you think about the experience, especially for the BIPOC community and women of color, it's like, yes, we each come to Earth with our own spiritual curriculum. Everyone has it. No one is saying that the rest of the world is walking through life without pain. All of us have endured. However, when you are a part of the BIPOC community, there is now this extra mountain and boulder on top of the healing that you already came to Earth to do that is relentless. It's a heaviness that cannot be fully understood or appreciated unless you felt it. And it's something that permeates every fiber of your being. So for so often when I was on this journey, I was the only Black millennial woman in every single space I was in over the last 10 years. Every retreat I went on, every symposium or lecture I attended, every certification program that I did that was in the wellness world. And you know, I'm observing that and I'm feeling grateful for my healing and grateful for the knowledge and the tools, but then I'm also exploring like, well, why is this the case? Why, when I'm in all of these rooms, I'm having beautiful experiences, but I'm only surrounded by white women of a certain age? Why is that? What are the barriers there of getting this work to other people? Or what is the misunderstanding of the facilitators and educators on how to best share this work? And so I've been really passionate about, especially speaking to other people within the wellness world, of how can you open up your understanding of healing and trauma to better show up and be of service to people that don't just look like you. You know, I think for a lot of people, depending on the trauma you come to the table with and the layers of complex post-traumatic stress disorder that get put on top of that, which what that means is a lot of us are used to understandings about PTSD, and very often it is primarily expressed as something that happens if you were in war or if you're a veteran. Complex post-traumatic stress disorder is when you have compounded stressful traumatic experiences placed on top of you every single day. So for a person of color, what that could look like is the very obvious issues of systemic racism, very often broken family structures that have been put in place since the inception of this country and put in place because of our legal system and everything else that comes with that. That's a whole nother episode. But, you know, I think it also manifests as when you are followed around a store, or when someone, you walk into a room and you're the one person not greeted with a smile or greeted with any level of acceptance. And it, the insidious nature of what that does to eradicate a person's self-worth is profound, you know? And so I think for so many of us, people within the Black and Brown communities that go into some of those more traditional wellness spaces, you know, it is when you're in a lot of that workshopping, a lot of the core pillars of the spiritual journey are understanding your soul's own responsibility and the things that you experience. It's rooted in accepting yourself and understanding that you're worthy and knowing that to be true and letting it radiate. It's a lot easier to do that when you work through your curriculum, but then you're not faced with daily interpretations of how worthless you are. And the ways that that shows up are vast, you know, and I've been giving such a tremendous amount of thought to why is that not more naturally understood by people who are not Black and Brown in this country. And I think a lot of it really comes down to, for a vast majority of people, it's not a matter of againstness. It's really a matter of just deep ignorance because of lack of access. And I think, you know, something I was giving some thought to, I don't know if this is even in the line of the questioning, but I'll bring it forward because it popped up, you know. When I think about working with clients who are not in the BIPOC community, I think I do come to the table already with a very expressed understanding of what some of that journey could have looked like. I think if there is someone who is not of color that is facilitating this work, that is not as natural, because everything about the experience being Black or Brown in this country, it's rooted around the storytelling of whiteness. From our history books, from whatever narratives are shared, from whatever inventors are shared, or you know, governmental processes, you know, the extent of most of the history, at least in my generation, was very loosely and vaguely going over slavery, and just getting to the pieces about, well, and now it's done, right?
Right. Right.
Then it comes into every movie, every mainstream movie. Every mainstream television show, every mainstream pop song is about the white experience, about white love. So a lot of us come to the table having a real clear understanding about the experience of people who are white. whether that means low socioeconomic standing, middle class, wealthy, blue collar, royalty, the list, you know, governmental, the list goes on. Movies, hundreds and thousands of movies have illustrated for us all the different lived experiences of being white. White people have not been given that view because of all the systems in place of what any experience other than theirs looks like. So you keep, I'm saying many people keep rooting their understanding of the Black experience through stereotypes and also through such an othering that has just been their programming. So all of that kind of plays into place on how we're able to hold space for people that don't look like us, how we're able to show up for stories that we don't know intimately. You know, this idea that people aren't believed because the stories they're sharing are so unfamiliar, that says more about the person receiving the information than it does the person sharing their truth.
Absolutely. So,
yeah, it's just, it's so important that in every moment, we are very curiously investigating ourselves and our biases, you know, and that's the piece that gets really challenging. It's so many people are saying, well, now I'm judging myself because of the way that I'm looking at my behavior, instead of saying like, okay, there's time to make a shift. I can be different. I saw the world this way because of all the systems in place and because of my programming. Now the veil has been removed and I can show up differently. But so many people choose to stay in that disconnected piece of it because of how it makes them feel about themselves to really see their choices or to really see the world.
Right. And here's the thing. Do judge yourself. It's absolutely fine. Get in the discomfort. Do judge yourself. See what has been so. And I love this idea of how you really ask people to become more, whether it's not been my life experience, you know, and it's been so many people's, and it's like to become more and really hold space for that. I think that's incredible. And I
thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for what you do and who you are and all of that. How do we, getting back to building a self-care routine, how do we do that? Because it sounds like, oh gosh, I don't think I can do meditation and movement and stretching and gratitude. It's like, I'm already overwhelmed. So it's like, how do we do it? How do we practically begin? And I love the idea of doing it from a place of joy, because often, you know, if you're making a change, or if I am, there can be that kind of anxiety with it. And, you know, in September, I did my Whole30 with Cook by Color and her group. And it was just like a joy fest. We had the most fun. We were this amazing group. And we really all had such success from a place of joy. So when we're doing it and we're resonating with it, we all know it. And it's great. And then when we're off track, it's like, oh gosh, now I've got to go out and do my walk today, as if walking in nature is going to be a bad thing. So how do we begin in a way that just doesn't make us feel totally overwhelmed and that we're like already complete failures?
Yeah. Oh God, that's so good. Cause that's so much of us. I think like what you're saying really illustrates kind of us approaching self-care like we approach working out on the new year. You know, it's like, I'm going to buy all the outfits. I'm going to get that gym membership. Everything has to be perfect so I can start this journey. And then what do? We don't show up. And then we judge ourselves for the ways we didn't show up. And I'll try again next year, you know? And so I think it's so important that we just walk into it with a grace. Like, you're doing this for you, for your best good. It's a gift, you know, and exploring it with that kind of joyful curiosity, as opposed to, again, like what tools can I have to fix me because I'm broken and I need to be fixed or I need to be better. Instead of talking to yourself in that way, it's kind of like, oh, what can I do today? Like, I really like to treat myself and my spiritual journey with joy, yes, but also with like a certain curious seductiveness, you know? It's like, what am I feeling? What can I use a little more of? What would feel nourishing to me today? How can I just show up for me? You know, even on my perceived worst days, it's like, all right, yeah, this feels shitty. This doesn't feel good. I don't like it. What can I do? What can I give myself? You know? And so I think very specifically, there are four pillars around what it is to stand in your wholeness that could be really beneficial to explore building a spiritual practice around. And so those four pillars are your mental, your physical, your emotional, and your spiritual. So if I think about my own practice and some of like the early like rigidity that I applied to it, I would think like in terms of, okay, mental, spiritual, emotional, physical. Mental, I'm going to journal. Emotional, I'm going to meditate. Physical, I'm going to do yoga. I'm going to move my body. I'm going to get into different postures. And then spiritual, that's my affirmations, you know? And I think now I really look at my spiritual practice as making every single thing I do a ritual, making everything ritualized. And that's also how I fit it into my day, because my days are very much so, especially in the quarantine with a small child, my God, my days are, you know, 5 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then after seven, I have to be asleep by 9:30. And so for me, my self-care has looked like, you know what, television is off limits for me. So I haven't connected with, you know, and I love a good binge. Like I love a good binge, but I haven't been connected, you know, with TV in like the last 7 months. I might give myself like an hour a week because I did just watch The Crown because that's my jam. but I think, you know, so I've had to really look at not showing up for myself is not an option. So how can I fit all the self-care I love in the time allowed for my day and do it with joy and not with a sense of obligation? And so everything becomes a ritual. So like, kind of like I shared with you earlier, it's like when I got that beautiful blue, deep blue, everything bowl from you, I was like, I want to eat my lunch in this bowl every single day. And that's going to bring me joy. I love the beauty of handcrafted goods. Like I love holding it. I love that someone's energy went into it. And so I build my salad and I'll find, you know, 20 minutes in between work and I'll go sit outside and I'll say, I'm not speaking for the next 20 minutes. I'm not looking at my phone for the next 20 minutes. I'm going to focus on deep breaths. And every time I take a bite, I'm going to be mindful about it. I'm going to smile and say, wow, this tastes good. How does that feel going into my body? Ah, how does that feel going into my stomach? And just being really deeply present. I'm going to eat anyway, right? Like I have to eat to be alive. So that 20 minutes can look however I want it to in service to myself and my highest good. I think my baby just came in.
Well, we love it. That's life.
Yeah. And so, and even too, like affirmations are a game changer, and don't be scared to really like expand your emotional depth in your affirmations. It doesn't just have to be like, you know, I am inviting in prosperity or I am love. Those are gorgeous, but like, let's deepen it. What are your needs? You know, I have one that I use that says, you know, my patience has become a point of savoring, healing, and joy. Because I was a deeply impatient person my whole life. So what better time to invite in that kind of energy than a global pandemic? So, you know, when I do my self-care routine, when I do my skincare routine, excuse me, it's like, instead of just standing in front of the mirror and being like, all right, let me wash this face. Let me put my serum on. Let me put my moisturizer on. You know, I stand there and I say, I'm going to look myself in the eyes as I do my skincare routine. I'm going to see me. I'm going to lather, as I lather my face, I'm going to look at myself and appreciate myself. And I'm going to say my affirmations in that process as I do it. Again, I'm doing my skincare anyway, because that's non-negotiable. And how can I turn it into a ritual that also nourishes my soul? And I think that's a great way. I know so many of us are strapped for time, especially any moms listening, especially like teachers listening, like all of us are now playing these multiple roles in our lives. So we don't have to look at self-care as like this obligation that we now think we're going to fail at and then continue to judge ourselves. We can say like, all right, like what is something I have to do anyway? And how can I infuse it with something that makes me feel really good about me?
I love that. Thank you so much for being here. You know, we've had our share of issues today with audio, and you rode with us and brought the tiny joys. So if anyone isn't following you, and everyone should be, tell us where we find you.
Thank you so much, Terry. Thank you for having me and for sharing your platform with me. I just adore you and I adore the work that you do in the world. And so it's been a big joy to be here with you today. But everybody, hit me on Instagram, Devi Brown, D-E-V-I Brown. And from there, my link in bio will send you to all the other places. I have a podcast, website. You can join me for daily meditation on the Chopra app. connect on Instagram.
I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to commit to that for one of my, I'm going to figure out my four, but I'm going to commit to that. Getting that app and joining you for that.
Oh, I love that. Beautiful. Let me know what you think. I think you'll really dig it.
Beautiful. Thank you for the light you are in the world. And even with all the audio we've had today, what a blessing it's been to spend time with you. And I hope we get to, you know, come together in another way soon.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Thank you so much. Thank you for those words.
Thanks everybody for being here. Definitely subscribe to the podcast. Come on over and find me on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, and get the book. Have a wonderful day, everybody.